wanted to make comments about something. What we expected, or as a matter of practice, they expect documents to be submitted in time, and whilst I need to understand that SOEs, particularly those under self, take cue from the holding company in how they submit their reports. I hope I'm correct. But the practice is that document has been submitted to us in time. And I must lament about that, Federal State. And the committee secretary is listening, and I hope he will link up with also his superiors as well as the department is represented. Should in future there be a need to review this practice, particularly for subsidiaries, I trust and hope we will address that in its fullest. I hope we will not make it peaceful for today, but how we should have had the usual practice of getting documents in time. So I'm saying it's in a balance way, that one, we had expectations, but two, I'm aware of the status of FedRSA as a subsidiary of, the Federal Energy Fund, and I hope should there be any lacuna, as they say, in the legal language that will be sorted out in future. Once again, I just would like to remind people that we are looking at 2011-2012 period, and let's try our best to focus on that and see the extent to which Federal State has performed during that period. Fortunately, there have been weeks of a couple of times on issues, so we will also use our memory on various issues that they may have shared with us in the future, but obviously we need to be formally addressing now the performance of the Federal State during the period under review in its most comprehensive. The last point is that once again we are handling a complex situation whereby we have a state-owned enterprise which operates in a private sector and operates in a highly competitive environment. And I want to be upfront there on the numbers that, once again, there are certain things that, even from my story position, I do not expect Petrosi to share with us because of their competitive sensitivity. But of course, it doesn't mean that they shouldn't try to ensure transparency as much as possible, where appropriate and where necessary. Petrosi will have to be sharing the information with us. I want to highlight and emphasize that as much as possible. Having said that, welcome everyone. Can Mr. Kose indicate who's present and absent?
Thank you, Chairperson. The following apologies. Honorable Pinto, who is on sick leave. And then also apologies from the Minister and the Deputy Minister of the MCJ, who are currently both abroad. Those are the apologies.
Fine. Can I hand over to FedRSA now to brief us on their annual performance for the period 2011 to 2012? Thank you.
Chairman, thanks for allowing us this time. And I'm Benny Mukaba, the chairman of the board representing the accounting authority. But we're in better strength than we were last year. Because last year we had acting CEO, this time we have permanent CEO, and the structure is not taking firm position, so we're getting there. With us, going through much of the presentation is the chief executive, the group chief executive of FFA, Susan Norquist, and the CFO, Mr. Mika. Chairman, thank you. I'm going to hand over to them. The two of them will take us through as the leaders. They are both members of the board, and so to that extent, they will be speaking on behalf of the company. Thank you so much.
resultant reduction in production of our gas liquid refinery necessitated that we slightly change our business model and necessitated in an increase in product imports, which also contributed to a 47% year-on-year increase in the cost of sales, leading to a contraction of the margin. The gas reserve decline will be partially offset by the project that we're busy on now, which is the Ikwezi offshore gas project, in which significant progress as well was achieved in the year under review. Maybe just to also give us some background on the company. The company was established in 2002 as a result of the findings of offshore gas off the coast of South Africa. We currently employ 1,861 staff members across the disciplines. The company pioneered the world's first gas to liquid refinery. Currently, the business now spans the petroleum value chain, which is not just gas to liquid, but as I alluded to earlier, including the importation of products for on sale, liquid petroleum products for on sale. We currently produce 5% of the RSA fuel needs, producing diesel, gasoline, kerosene, and specialty products. We have also produced some crude, and we have, since inception, used 1 TCF of natural gas to date. We also have acreage in Ghana, in Equatorial Guinea, and in Namibia. The net asset value of the company at close of financial year end, 31st of March 2012, was 18 billion. With regards to our key messages from the annual report, the organization continues to exercise its mandate, its NOC mandate, to operate commercially and to support the security of supply of the country. With regards to financial performance and sustainability, we received an unqualified audit opinion for the year under review. Our group profits rose 54% year on year to 1.3 billion. As I said earlier, we made progress on Project Ikwezi, which project is intended to extend the Mossel Bay GTL operation to 2020, and thus sustaining jobs for the single largest employer in the Southern Cape. With regards to our safety, health, environment and quality, the safety record is within acceptable range, but we are putting much more focus on the leading indicators like near misses, because of the fact that we had about 15 incidents which occurred over time, over the last, so we drew this year under review, and we have now taken the remedial action to avert the recurrence of the incidents. What we're doing is we've got a specialized program to increase awareness with regards to the attitude towards safety, and we think that that is starting to show results. With regards to growth, the project Mtombo, together with Sinopec, we did sign a joint study agreement, and we are currently reviewing the business case in view of the new clean fuels requirements and also in view of the demand and supply projections. Last year, when we sat in front of the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee, we did mention that we were undertaking a project in terms of expansion of our oil assets on the continent, and I'm pleased to inform the committee, that we have bought Sabre Oil and Gas Holdings in Ghana, and it gives us access to Jubilee Field, which provides a real strategic entry into the Gulf of Guinea, and that is going to go some way in terms of offsetting the negative margins that we are experiencing as a result of the decline of the feedstock into our gas to liquid refinery, which currently is the single source of income for the company. With regards to transformation, we have made progress on women recruitment. We still need to do some work. We still need to do some more challenge, we have now started to work further down in the pipeline, and instead of trying to recruit people with disabilities from the same pool where the whole country is also looking to recruit from, we have now started offering bursary to selected students with disabilities so that we start attracting the input into the company further down in the pipeline of the sources. And we have also built a specialized fuels research center at the University of the Western Cape, where we work very closely with that institution and students of the University of the Western Cape. 71% of our commercial business sales are attributed to BEE customers, and 67% of our discretionary procurement spend also went to the BEE suppliers that under transformation. Chair, maybe just to speak about Project Equate as well, because a lot of activity and a lot of time and effort was spent in the year under review on this very important project. As I mentioned, this is the project which is extending the lifeline of our gas to liquid plant, of our GTL refinery. It was approved by our board in March 2011. Some details, it entails the drilling of 5 long horizontal wells. The drilling of the first well is expected to commence by the end of this year, and we expect to see first gas flowing in the second half of 2013. As I said, we are hoping that the results from Project Equate is expected to extend the life of the GTL plant to 2020. We also see this as an opportunity for further development of other gas prospects near the FO field, which also should extend the life of the GTL plant. Those were some of the key messages and the highlights of our annual report. And now perhaps just to go into some measure of detail of the features of the annual report, if you allow me, Chair. In terms of our performance against objectives, as I mentioned, the transformation of women, we targeted 15% of all appointments to be women, and we managed 37% of our appointments were women. As I mentioned, we achieved 1.2% of appointments from people with disabilities, as opposed to a target of 3% of the appointments. We are looking, as I said, at trying to be more innovative and specific in terms of how we are going to reach our targets. Preferential procurement, we targeted 50% of spend, of discretionary spend, and we did manage to do 67%. In terms of our gross margin percentage, Chair, we targeted 17 to 18%, and we were slightly below target at 16%, mainly due to what I alluded to earlier, which is the declining production of our feedstock into our plant. With regards to the milestones in terms of crude production, we produced lower than planned crude, 50% of target, due to the challenges that we experienced at the production facility, which challenges have now been resolved, and we are back to proper throughput from our Oryx facility. In terms of the refinery production, we achieved 84% of our targeted GTL gas production, which was below our plan, and as I mentioned, that is because of the dwindling feedstock into the plant. Our offset to all of that is the FO development, where in terms of our project, we did manage to award 81% of the contracts, and these contracts, if I may mention, are mostly long lead items which are required for the project. regards to some of the projects as well that we've undertaken to offset the effect of the declining feedstock, we had said that we were going to look at the project of entering the downstream process. The downstream, that is going fairly well. The valuation was in progress at the end of the financial year. We also looked at the project of addition of refining capacity, and that was progressing well. The technical reviews were progressing as planned. In terms of the reserve addition, we have targeted 15 million barrels. By the close of the financial year, we had not yet concluded the transaction, but the acquisition has now been approved in September 2012 by the authorities in the country, in Ghana. And that means that we now have increased our reserves from that acquisition. When I mentioned earlier the fact that we were not pleased with our disabling injury frequency rate, we had targeted less than 0.4. We achieved 0.39, but we believe that because of some of the environmental incidences, which we had targeted 7, and we ended up with 15, that we still need to do a lot of work in terms of the the heart and the mind and the approach and the safety awareness throughout the organization. With regards to governance, we had targeted 0 repeat audit findings. We were not happy with our performance in the sense that we did not achieve. We had some repeat audit findings, and we've identified them, and we are tightening the controls with regards to that. Chair, if you allow me, in terms of the group financial statements, I will just highlight some of the indicators, and the detail will be delved into, if you allow me, Chair, by our Chief Financial Officer. And perhaps just to highlight, in terms of revenue, we had an increase on revenue. Profit also increased for the year. In terms of our ratios, our return on equity increased year on year from 5 to 8%, and return on total assets also increased from 3 to 5%. Our cash balance, we were also happy with the increase of 8% on our cash balance, and also the total assets increased by 6%. We did, as I said, Chair, through a very challenging year, the company still managed to remain profitable. And if you allow me, I will ask the CFO to delve into the income statement, balance sheet, and the cash flows. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, honorable members. It is my pleasure to present the financial performance of the organization to the committee. Last year when we reported a very thin or low profit. But this year we are pleased that we are reporting a better financial performance. As can be seen on the slide, the features of our performance is that the Group CEO has indicated we had a revenue increase of about 2%, which was due to sales volumes. Its effect, though it does not reflect our good performance, the fact that last year we saw the rand getting weaker because our prices are dollar denominated, so when the rand gets weaker, I mean our revenue increases. So that was 30%. Of course, one would expect the cost of sales to take the same direction. Where our input comes in is it comes in terms of achieving those results. through operating expenditure. We continue with our cost containment initiatives, which are there to ensure that we do much with little that we have in terms of resources. For a number of years that I've been reporting here, I've been pointing out that we do make a lot of money from our cash holdings. In the current year, we saw the interest rates decreasing, but we managed to achieve sound returns from investment income, just a 2% drop from the previous year. The other income which we had in the previous year was a tax refund from SARS, which was related to provisional tax which we had paid and subsequently agreed with SARS that we did not need to do so. Next slide, presenting our balance sheet. Always say, feature of this balance sheet is that it is debt-free, thereby providing a base for us to grow the business. In terms of property and plant and equipment, when we look year on year, we find that there is a slight decrease. Of course, that would have been caused by depreciation, offset by acquisitions on project equation that is crucial referred to. However, when we look at it against our budget, we did not progress much in the acquisitive projects. A typical analyst will look at our level of working capital this year, which is reflected in inventory, accounts receivables and accounts payable. We had an increase in accounts receivables because we had to increase our trading business. However, that was offset, partially offset by an equivalent increase in accounts payable. A significant increase also on that was due to the fact that the year-end, the sister company was owing us some money in terms of the new multi-product pipeline. Cash flows. The previous year, from the operations, we contributed about, in terms of our cash, 853 million. This year around, the operations consumed or used a cash of 103 million, again, mainly to fund the working capital that I referred to in the previous slide. Didn't see much happening on the investing activities, but there is progress again, as was indicated, that we have started investing on our equity project. So overall, the financial performance of the company was sound. At the end, we ended up with a cash balance of 12.8 billion rand, which of course is the projects that are lined up for the going into the future. These accounts have been audited by our auditor, the Auditor General. And as the group CEO indicated, we received an unqualified audit opinion. However, the Auditor General has drawn attention to some matters that they refer to as matters of emphasis. So I would like to go through those matters. First one, there is one which is headed as significant uncertainty. for the past two and a half years, we have been trying to sell our subsidiary, Brass Exploration Unlimited and Federation Nigeria SOC. Again, as I indicated to the portfolio committee previously, the reason for us to sell the subsidiary, it was a joint venture with an indigenous Nigerian partner. As an SOE that is subject to PFM regulations, the partnership was not compatible because the JV partner is a family business. So we decided that the risk for us was too much, so we decided to sell. Again, at that stage, I had indicated that this was a profitable business, so we got our return for the amount that we had invested in. But what is happening now is that after having sold this, closed the deal, received our money, signed the indemnities in the sale and purchase agreement, the partner took us together with the buyer to court to challenge the sale. So that matter is in the Nigerian courts. But on our side, in terms of risk assessment, we are satisfied and the Auditor General is satisfied that all the risks have been covered. And we have indemnity in place for the buyer not to claim anything from us. So that is just a matter of them. Material impairment. We have impairments, one relating to Federal Egypt for an amount of 197 million rand, and the previous year it was an amount of 945 million rand. Pretoria gain, 1.4 million rand, previous year was nil. 1.4. And then I will just talk about the last one, Equatorial Guinea. We undertook exploration in Equatorial Guinea as required by the license agreement. And last year we got an extension for a year, and then on the condition that by the end of the year we needed to be able to find a JV partner to work with us. When we were finalizing this financial statement, we had not identified a JV partner. So it was prudent for us to write off the impair, as we use the term, our investment in Equatorial Guinea. However, I'm told by my friends and my colleagues that subsequent to year-end, in fact, as of early this week, we managed to find a potential JV partner, in which case we will now satisfy the requirements of the license. And then, in future, the committee may see this impairment being partially written back or written back in full. And then the Auditor General goes on to highlight the issue on predetermined objectives, that they have reviewed our predetermined objectives and with no material findings. However, when it comes to the achievement of the planned targets, they point out that only 38% of the total targets 38% of the targets were not achieved, which again I think though the group CEO has gone through comprehensively. When it comes to the annual financial statements as required by the PFMA, we need to present the financial statements to the auditors 2 months after the end of the financial year. Because of the nature of our business, some transaction or economic events become apparent after we had handed over those financial statements, that resulting in us going back to the auditors to say more information has come to our attention, therefore we need to change the financial statement. But the auditors, of course, they are required in terms of the TFNK to report that as they were given their accounts, end of May, those accounts will subsequently change. There's nothing odd about that. The issue of National Environment Management Act, the fact that timely corrective action was not implemented with regard to contamination at the operating facilities. This again, some of this is the reason why we had the issue on zero repeat findings, because the nature of some of these findings is that they cannot be resolved over a 12-month period. Again, report on other legal and regulatory requirements. Again, requirement of the TFNA. In this financial statement, we do report fruitless and wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditure. And to the auditor, it means that steps were not taken to prevent fruitless and wasteful and irregular expenditure effectively. That perhaps one will talk about it when referring to when addressing those irregular and fruitless expenditure. Procurement and contract management, again, we know this is a typical issue in the country, the issue of procurement, and the auditors look at it. Again, the way incentives, in our case, where we did not comply with the TFMA, in that specifically, we require that for transactions above 15,000, we need to get quotations. The 1 million, between 15,000 and 1 million, we need to go out for tenders. For the rest, we need to get quotations. Again, now, getting deeper into the issue of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Chairman, if I may, start with the previous year. In the previous year, we reported 21.6 million. As the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And we had given the list of that on the next slide, which gives a breakdown of that 21.6 million. In the current year, 16.3 million of that has been recovered. How did it happen? Included in that 21.6 were penalties and interest that were paid to the receiver of revenue. On further engagement with the receiver of revenue, it was determined that our interpretation of statute was correct and we ought not to have been charged fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So they gave us back the interest that was charged. That is the 16.3 million. When it comes to the current year, we are reporting 35.8 million. So the issue we need to look at is the gross 35.8 million. If when we go to the next slide, that 35.8 million is made up of, I will address only two significant amounts. The first one is contract cancellation fee and the legal and consulting fees. necessary procurement process. And as the auditor and finance management, we're evaluating the benefits received from those legal fees. We found it difficult to place them. Hence, we classify them as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Again, in terms of the details, but I think it's sufficient to say to the committee, this was the result of management override of internal controls or policies and processes. Also, I do not want to paint a bad picture for my colleagues. I thought about this last night, how I should put it. Because management is the executive leadership of Petro SA. I want to say that. The board did bring a passion for a period of 8 months to oversee the running of the organization. But it's safe to say that that person came in, disrespected all the policies and procedures that we have in the organization. We operated with directives from the impact, hence the increase in fruitless and wasteful expenditure, hence the increase in irregular expenditure. Same again with irregular expenditure. If one can look year on year, contravention of company policy moved from 13.6 to 25.9. Contravention of legislation, hey, there we managed to capture it. So therefore, going forward, I do not think that the committee should get the impression that the controls or the internal controls of Petro SA have collapsed. It was a period of time. And then when the group CEO got appointed, things have gone back to normality. That is the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Chair, I will close my presentation at that point and hand over to the group CEO.
Thank you, CFO.
Chair, just before that, can you welcome students from the Swanee University of Technology? They are from the Department of Applied Languages, all the way from Sosangu, the campus. We are losing.
Thank you, Jay. If I may continue. just to present the Petro SA's BEE status currently. With regards to, as I mentioned earlier, Chair, we are, with management and control, we are on target. Perhaps just to mention that equity ownership, we have, it's not applicable in our instance because of being an SOE. With regards to employment equity, we are below target, where our target was 15. We achieved 8.48% of our target. And as I mentioned earlier, we did manage to recruit 30% women, which was above target for the recruitment cycle. And but we did not manage to achieve our target on recruitment of people living with disabilities, which we are working on improving. In terms of skill development, we were at 17 as opposed to our target of 20, but we have put in as well initiatives and measures so that we're able to increase reach our target as it were. We do have a center of excellence which is utilized. terms of preferential procurement share, our target was 20, we achieved 19.27. We having challenges in terms of enterprise development, where our target is 15, and we only managed to achieve 2.85. So we have also started analyzing ways that we can actually have an impact so that we can reach our target. Socioeconomic development, target is 14.14. Target was 15, and we achieved 14.14. Chair, perhaps, if you allow me to conclude, these are the elements that are captured in much detail in our annual report, but maybe just to make a few remarks in conclusion, is to say that as the committee is aware, one of the biggest challenges facing our company is the declining feedstock for which we've got the Ikwezi project, and of course also looking around our coast, and also we are embarking on a project where we are also doing a feasibility study to look at alternative feedstocks like LNG. And perhaps what is important to mention, Chair, is that we do have a partnership with our state-owned entity, Eskom, looking at how we can work together in terms of making the importation of LNG economically feasible. So the focus we have is on sustaining our gas-to-liquid plant in Mossel Bay, so that we can also create new opportunities for growth. In the past year, our upstream business saw significant activity on the domestic front, as I mentioned as well. We successfully farmed out some of our acreage to very experienced players internationally. We have partnerships with companies that have been successful in deep water exploration. So we will continue with those. We are tightening our financial and operational performance and our controls. We are looking at our Vision 2020 growth strategy, which will advance job creation. It will also advance enterprise development and other key transformation initiatives. We are also continuing to look at Project Mtombo, which is the refinery, additional refinery capacity. And we think, Chair, that if we, as a national oil company, do have support for the initiative countrywide, we can be able to achieve most of our objectives. We thank you for your attention, and that is the crux of our annual report 2011-2012.
Thank you very much, Mabaya. Time now for members to ask questions, get clarity speaking. Dajam Loto, Honorable Smale, Mafia Gassin, Dajam Lucas, mandated an investigation into the procurement of society, why is the 42? Because if we get an exploitation now, I don't think it's not going to be adequate for us to engage. We would everyone need to be provided with the necessary documentation. Shepherd, let me move on. And I'm now comfortable because I was worried that the internal controls in Petrol SA were too lax or had collapsed, but clearly they indicate that they were violated and just a certain specific period. And I think it relates to what I said earlier. Let me leave it there, Shepherd. I would like to come back to the issue of, I want to touch the issue of the independence. Your related to the operation in Guinea and Egypt. I just want to be assured by the board, because Chairperson, allow me to just digress a bit and talk about the basis of government. But a strategy of any company is captured by the board and assisted by the But as part of that process, there must be a risk management approach to say, this is the strategy. We want to go and pursue investment and get the necessary return, but that pursuit is not free of risk. So therefore, we need to be aware of the risk that we are going to be involved in. These are the possible risks, and this is our risk mitigation strategy. And significant amount of money was impaired as a result of exploration. The way I'm reading it is exploration, because I think it was covered in the past, it was covered in the annual report. So I would want to say, exploration is part of your investment strategy. So I would want to know, what's your investment mitigation strategy? Because you're not Anglo-American, you're not Asian-American, you don't have a large cache of money, where these companies can go into exploration, and write off things and say, well, it's not tough luck. We didn't get anything, let's move on. Or we got something, but at this stage it's not yet viable. We would want to wait for the price of platinum or gold to reach a certain stage to develop this area. So I would want to know what is the thinking of the board around this issue and management. Because this is a significant amount of money. So we can't be meeting again and be told that you went to exploration and bring a lot of cash. So we want to know what guides your investment philosophy. Chairperson, the other issue that I would want to touch on is around Project Equity. Just a quick one. How sure are you that Project Equity would be able to sustain Petrol SA for 2025 or so? Because the board approved Project Equity. When the board approved Project Equity, I assume they were given an assurance by management that this is the type of study or whatever, and therefore we're certain the probabilities of success of Project Equity are quite high. Yes, they have a certain level of confidence that could attach to Project Equity. So I would want you to share with us that on that matter. The last two issues, Chairperson, is around downstream. Downstream acquisitions or activities. Want to be involved. Again, we want to be enlightened about the board investment philosophy. What's your rationale of wanting to go into downstream? Downstream, I would assume, upstream will be exploration, and midstream will be your refinery, downstream will be your petrol station, maybe depot, or storage factory. So I would want to, what's the rationale of petrol station wanting to go into the downstream. The last one, Chairperson, is around Project Mutombo. You signed certain agreements, you signed a paper. understand the issues of fund commissions are fine for commercial sensitive. I don't want you to go into the name of the couple of entities or whatever, stations, and so I just want the rationale without going through commercial sensitive information, because yeah, that might criticize some of the discussions that you want.
Thank you. Let me link some of my discussions with Honourable Maloto. When I look at the subsidiaries and the financial statements and the ones that I picked up on 13 subsidiaries. And three of those are where the bank balances are on the positive, in the red, you know, in the positive side, in the black side. And then it asks, and then the question arises, where's the business in? And it links up to writing off the possibility of the 1.3 in Egypt or the 1.4 billion and those ones. Because the financial statements and some of the issues raised was the internal loans that are being flowing from Petrobrazi to the subsidiary and trying to keep these ones afloat. And why hasn't the board, or has the board, actually taking the decision to say, this is not our expertise or fields to do those type of exploration, and let's focus on trying to acquire some sort of an asset, which like gas fields has already been in Mozambique, and let's take a stake into that and make business sense and make look at the profitability of it. I would like to understand where's the thinking going towards the future? Because that might explain only a small amount of profit within the company, because the one is subsidizing the other at the end of the day, you know, at the end of the line. I do agree with Honorable Manoto about the cancellations in those reports. But your legal and consulting fees, and comparing it to the previous year, that it was not there, or maybe the figures, I'm just looking at your audit opinion, but it was the zero and now it's 15 million or 13.4 million. It is astonishing that you go into those type of management decisions, because if you go into those litigations, I'm asking myself, what is wrong? Where's the thinking? And hopefully when we do get those reports, some of those rationale might come out of that. I tried earlier this morning trying to figure out when the AG report focused on the amount, the material impairments of 197 million rand that was given to Petro SA Egypt loans in this year, this financial year, and 945 million the previous year. And I was going through the annual financial statement this one, and I could not pick it up. And I spent a brief second with a CFO to try to pick it up, and we could not pick that one up, the 197 million right now. I'm just trying to understand in the income, where is it, why is it not there, and why can't I pick it up in the financial statements? Maybe in a little bit of time, I overlooked it, but if you can just refer to me, I'll appreciate it.
Which financial statement?
Chairperson, we were in an order report page 67, it refers to material impairments, and it talks to Petro SA Egypt and its financial statement. But it doesn't reflect the income that should be transferred to this one to there. And I'm just trying to understand the rationale about it, because
I understand. transfer into the company and running it for 8 months, it says to me that obviously all things went well and we didn't achieve some of those targets. Then it comes back to performance bonuses that are being paid by companies, by the company to the executive, as well as to the group. And when I refer to the group and to the financial statements, that 3 of the 13 was profitable, and then I look at what the group has achieved, or the company has achieved. Now, in 2011, you know, in the year 11, the bonuses were in the region of about 90 million rand on both sides, and then that jumps to 355 million. Give or take a couple of hundred thousand on both sides of the group and then on the company. And I'm just trying to understand, how do I get from 1 year there and then to the next year there, and then I look at the company and then I look at the 2% profit or then 5% profit? Yes, we did achieve, but maybe just a small rational explanation for me to accept it or not accept it. It's page 116 of the notes to the annual financial statements. It talks to the provisions. Then a little bit of what has flown previously in the previous meetings. We took 2 trips to Venezuela earlier this year. What was the maybe the outcome or the positive side that we could see from the company side into the Venezuela trips? The going downstream or going into securing more storage capacity for Petro-SA and not having yet a refinery Matomba online, which it would seem like the timing has got to be right, but the market is ready for such a refinery. What is the thinking of the storage space? Would it lie dormant? Would it go into off-let or sublet of those storage capacity while not in use? The thinking about the Matombo, are we looking at a 400,000 barrels per day refinery? Will it be built in, if you look at the stages, you know, towards the risk, will we be looking at 200,000 barrels per day refinery in order to get it up and running much, much quicker, you know, the stages? And are we looking at a type of crude that we would like to use? And heavy or light, or will it be a bit of a mixture of both? I don't think we are utilizing the Mozambique gas sector as much as what we should be doing. And yesterday, it's interesting to hear today that there are talks with Eskom or some sort of agreement with Eskom around the GTL, the gas intake. And there wasn't a lot of talk here now about the understanding or what our deeper the business will be between the two companies. But maybe a little bit 2 minutes if the chair will allow just to talk about those business arrangements and what it is going forward. Is it just on the gas? Is it also on the liquid fuel side, you know, the petroleum products? Are we looking at those two things? And your Jubilee, your stake in the Jubilee, that what we took up, what I was trying to get a little bit of the search, but I missed it. What is the percentage of our uptake in the Jubilee and you know, the Jubilee field? That's just maybe just a bit on a personal side that I would like to see. And your your Orbi Oryx production, we did only achieve just over 50% of that production. And will the company be fully on fully productional on that? What are the estimates? I know that there were some of the concerns or problems that occurred there, and I'm just understanding how quick we will be up and running to get to the full production, to get that a bit more profitable. And Chair, thank you.
Thank you very much, Hello, Smiley. Now, I know I just did not make listening to other members, to the two previous segment members for questions. Can I appeal to the members for quite a list of questions? If you could just make sure that we give space and time for federal states to respond, and then we can take another round. But for now, Master Gassin.
Thank you, Chair. A lot of the questions may be overlapped, and I'm just going through the presentation that we've been given this morning, and unfortunately the author only just got the annual report, so we're trying to marry things together. Just in terms of your transformation, and I know the research center that's been built at DWC, and it's a really amazing research center. Is the Chase A giving any students out of all people that you employ, that you employ in our Mac Research Center? What is the collaboration with UWC? Then in terms of the BE spin, I looked at the annual report and you said 71% of the commercial business sales went to BE customers. The actual brand value, according to the report, is 2.86 billion, which equates to 25% of Federal Estate spend. And that is spent with companies that have at least 25.1% empowerment credentials. I just want to know, what is the plan going forward to increase this? Because it sounds like a lot when you say 71%, but when you equate it into the actual rand, it's a lot less than what it appears. So it almost seems like there's a false impression that has been created. I also had a concern with them on the report for the material impairment, and we're talking about Petro SA, the equatorial Guinea and Egypt, and I'm just concerned whether we face similar risks as we did in with Nigeria. And then what is the mitigation strategy itself? Because obviously we're dealing with other countries, and are there any risks that will cause the Nigerian deal that might be surfacing in the EU deal? National Environmental Management Act is a concern about contamination. I'd like to know what they were and what were the steps that were being taken. The same question about the contract that has been cancelled. I think it's quite a lot of money, because it's not only the cancellation fee but the legal and consulting fee, which takes us up to almost at 35 million. And you did answer the question, because I had here, has the disability been affected as a result, but it's just the organization was under an administrator, and so that sorted that out. Then in terms of enterprise development, we're not doing very well in enterprise development, and what are the reasons? Are there any reasons that stand out that the committee should know about? What are the difficulties, and how is Peter saying looking at improving that, because it is a very important aspect of the scorecard. Then just in terms of...
Any more questions? Yes.
That's just two. It's just the one which is a repeat question with governance chair. 27 repeat internal audit findings. It's repeat audit findings. It is a concern, really huge concern. And And then of course the five million that is under investigation on the other report. Thank you.
Honourable Queen.
Thank you, Chair, and I'll try to be brief because a lot of the questions have been covered. But I think I do need to draw attention, I mean, to Honourable Malotta's first question, that in terms of the report of the Board Audit and Compliance Committee on that issue of fruitless expenditure, what it does say is that attention to the number of irregular and fruitful and wasteful expenditure on the annual financial statements which resulted from management override of internal controls in the supply chain management process over a specific period during the year under review. Now that is particularly worrying to me. I mean, we are talking about supply chain management, we are talking about major issues there. And I'd just like you to elaborate a bit more on that. I know there is a forensic investigation, but just explain to us what the crux of that investigation is. What exactly did transpire there so that we have a sense of what we're dealing with here? Because in terms of what I'm reading here, it does sound particularly serious. Then the issues over, I mean, we've talked a lot about this. In fact, last year I even brought this up as well, around our investments into Egypt and into Guinea. And the fact that here we're talking about writing off loans of 1.15 billion to Petro SA in Egypt and 1.4 in Petro SA in Equatorial Guinea. Now that comes to about 2.5 billion rand that essentially has been wasted on these particular activities. Now my major concern around this, I mean obviously this, and I know it's a risky business and I know we've got to take some losses when we go into these things. My issue though is firstly, what are the controls over these subsidiaries? How do they report to you and how do we get to see that in fact the way that they're spending their money is according to proper guidelines? Because I think that we need to also have some sufficient control over those subsidiaries as well. We need to have clarity that this money hasn't just simply been wasted, that there was a risky business and that money was lost, but you know, we need to know that there isn't particular corruption around you as well. I mean, I'd just be interested to hear what the reporting cycles are there. And then just lastly, on that issue though, and let me take it to a kind of broader, big picture scenario. I'd like to know what informs your particular investment decisions. Because what I'm seeing is a kind of scattergun approach. And I asked this question before. Why did we go into Egypt, for instance? Why did we go into Equatorial Guinea? What is it that the group is trying to achieve through these particular investments? Now, I understand you're trying to form yourself into a large national oil company and that you feel that you need to invest in various oil-producing regions of the world. But ultimately, I mean, I think that the priority should be on ensuring supplies for South
then you look at the Central Egypt and Equatorial Guinea, what lessons have you learned? Because you need not repeat these lessons. And, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think as a new member of the committee, I qualify to ask the question. That's for my curiosity. I thought first was that I was an acronym for something. But when I was reading this, it says the Federal Oil and Gas Corporation of South Africa Limited called FED. That got curious about the name of that. Let me take you to that, a few technical questions. On page 2, on slide 2, let's go to slide 4, or page 4. You are talking about that we have offered the battery to selected students with disabilities and had a sort of minority constituents. How do you access the battery? Allow me to take you to page 11 or slide 11. In slide 11, there your performance, I was just curious on your reservation reserve addition. You said your target was 15 million barrels, which was to me an objective target. I would have thought now you would say we bought 10 or 7 or whatever number. It's just an explanation that we approved in September 23rd. But we're talking about a given year. In that given year, did we have any target? Allow me to take you to take in slide 13. In slide 13, the very last one on current ratio, I'm not sure whether that 7.4 is good or bad. You didn't reflect anything there, whether it's mining or otherwise. Right, takes you to the last one, 23. Of slide 23. On slide 23, your green is what achieved. But we have green there, so you have not achieved. I don't know whether it is wrong with my wrong interpretation of achieved. If you say skill development, your target was green and you got 13.1%, but you gave that a green. Same thing with potential procurement. Same thing with social economy. Is that a wrong interpretation of your own definition of achieved target?
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much for the information that you got. On page 52.
Harry for the center. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Shane. I guess from earlier on today they were trying to hide us to reform my teaching. No. Actually, I think after I know a mammoth speaker has spoken, it sometimes is very much illegal that you must speak a little bit from some other issues. But let me just say my query is that in terms of your recruitment practice and your retention practice, if you can be able also to increase in terms of your partner skills and making sure that at least you market yourself very well so that at least all students get this opportunity. Because with my view, the 61 full-time faculty students is not enough compared to what separate A needs. If you remember correctly, in the last financial year, I raised a concern around the issue of the, you know, increase of the, especially second half skills, another specific skill that separate needs. Because we are moving to a project equation that is already starting to stand on its feet. You must be able to have enough skills, sufficient skills, around important skills. How do you ensure that you have those skills? By training them while you're still preparing for the future. While you go to project with tomorrow, you must have those skills that you need to prepare them in advance. I think that will be able to assist. And also, as some students said, and I've engaged with you last, if I was to get LDC, that your relationship with APT College, it hasn't been effective. APT College, those are the very base whereby you get the cream where you get your technical skills. If you can be able to increase that, I would highly appreciate. Well, going through as well to your annual report, page 723, it speaks to the claim there, I think it's note 29, where it speaks around the issue of claims, that the currency is concerning all certain claims made by a former employee. If you can be able to explain to us, because I just look at the amount there that you going to pay this particular person. If I'm not mistaken, that's 1 million. I don't know. If you can be able to clarify for me, because you must be able to understand what, why do you think this person is necessary. Because some of the other people, if I remember correctly, they were fired from the federal from being misbehaving from the previous audit report, that the findings from the previous audit report. And we can't find ourselves giving them golden handshake. It cannot happen. The last question, Chair, relates to when I think our honorable has raised more than emphasis in that the issue of the cancellation of the contract, it really incurred a lot of, you know, burden to the company. Probably tell us what strategy are you having that you won't be able to see this thing happening again. I can tell you, in some of the other government departments, people get fired for this. In other private companies, once you cancel the contract without following proper procedures, people get fired because you want to call the company heavy pay. At the current moment, Chair, I must also acknowledge and appreciate that the interesting so far so good, performing very well, and congratulations to you, Chairperson of the Board, your sterling leadership, because we don't normally say this. We are steering the ship in the right direction. Probably must be able to fasten all some of those loose on there and there. And if you continue that way, you and the CEO will continue delivering positive. So far, federalism is not a burden too much to stay. That's what you must be able to see in all our SOEs. So I must just say, so far so good, correct. congratulations, but just having those loose balls. Thank you, Chair.
thank you very much, honourable members. I think now is the time for Pedro S.A. to respond. I just want to highlight, honourable members, creators of the special question, once again, that we're dealing with an institution or state-owned enterprise that operates in a competitive area. I do not expect you to divulge information that will compromise Pedro. Of you people, but I would draw your attention to a request for information, particularly if things are still under investigation. I want to open one of members that depends on the last point. We cannot divert things which are still under investigation. That's why until the report comes. Okay, let me end there because I'm going to monitor the way you respond to those questions. I can't remember now because there's just a litany of them, but please make sure that you respect of the don't abuse this qualification by not being as transparent as you are supposed to be. That's also fairly fundamental as well. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairman. Thank you, Honourable Members, for the questions, comments, and the suggestions. Let me I've attempted to group most of the questions, and I will attempt to answer quite a lot of them. I appreciate the caution. We do appreciate it because it does sometimes compromise our competitiveness in the market. But we will attempt as best as we can to deal with the questions as we take most of them to be clarity seeking. Perhaps if I may just begin by the issue about, I think there were quite a few questions which seem to relate to why are we going downstream, what is our future, the countries that we concentrate on, why do we do it, what's the rationale for some of those things. And I think I can be able to deal with all those sort of questions in a nutshell by talking about our Vision 2020 strategy and the mandate that we've been given as a national oil company in terms of making sure that by 2020 we are an integrated oil company and that we will have quite a large percentage of the market share. Now you will appreciate that for that, there are certain building blocks that we need to go into. And what we've done is we've looked at our strategy and we've strategized and we have looked at which are the areas where we need to be able to make sure that we can, one, live up to that mandate, but secondly, to also diversify our income source. Because currently, we are a single source income company, and as the members have asked quite a few questions to say, in terms of the production, when do you think you'll come up to a normal level of production because that impacts our revenue? Those are some of the risks. It's hugely, it's of a high risk nature to be a company that bases its income only on one source of income and not only one source, but on a source of income that is not infinite and is proven, in fact, to be diminishing. So that's the type of situation where we currently find ourselves in. So having taken that into cognizance, we've embarked on a growth strategy, and that growth strategy entails the downstream entry to say that we need to be a bigger player in that arena. What was the rationale? That was the rationale, the mandate of saying that we need to be an integrated oil company. So we are working our way towards attaining that vision of which mandate we've been given to be an integrated oil company by 2020. There was a question to say in terms of the depot network, will we be subletting and so on. There are different models in different parts of the country where we are going to also have, we also look at which is the most efficient way for us to be playing in that arena that makes it commercially viable for us and whatever partner that we take into on that front. There was also something that said, what is our approach with regards to de-risked, because of the experiences that we've had in the past, we have de-risked the manner in which we approach our investments into outside of South Africa. And we've looked at the different ways that we de-risk, and we use conventional methodology that's used in the exploration and production industry, which is where we go into farm-in arrangements with other companies. And what our strategy is to look for strong partnerships, people who have got experience and knowledge of either that region or that area. And so we go into partnerships, so we deal with the spend. As correctly mentioned, we are not in the arena of some of the very big oil companies, so we cannot spend and then just write off, you know, as lessons learned, because we don't have that luxury. So what we do is we partner with companies that have got that bigger balance sheet to be able to assist us and carry us along. In doing that, we look at that as a transitional point where we're starting to gradually build up our strength and build up our reserves to a point where we can start taking bigger participation in some of those areas. The countries that we look at clearly are the countries that, one, have got prolific reserves, but secondly, what is very important is now we go into producing or near producing assets, so that we remove the risk of the exploration from our balance sheet or from our resources. And also the issue of whether you can fund whether you can fund part of that value chain with externally sourced funds from lenders. They don't usually play in the exploration arena. But once you've got the producing assets, that's when you can actually talk to them, because they will then be able to participate. So we've looked at how we can efficiently manage that area of the business without taking away from the fact that we need to be also active in the upstream exploration and production around our country. So we've looked at the percentages, and we've looked at basically the principle to say what percentage of our activities should be in South Africa, which is the majority thereof, and what percentage should we be looking at outside in active, prolific areas which are proven and producing. That's the lesson that we've learned from some of our previous forays into the upstream outside of the country. With regard to Mozambique and around our continent, we have a very good partnership with our the national oil companies in Mozambique, where we signed agreements with Petromoc. We are looking at signing agreements as well with the other national oil companies. And the focus is how we walk along this path with our sister organizations in terms of the growth in the gas industry in Mozambique. I think the committee will know that other companies are the ones that have got the acreage, which is currently going to be producing first gas, which is predicted to be 2018. And those companies have committed their trains to other parts of the world. What we're busy working on now is how we can access some of that capacity for South Africa through our sister through and with our sister national oil companies. So the concern that perhaps we could have missed the boat, I think that was what the member was saying. Yes, it is a concern, but we have managed now to start working closely with the national oil companies there, so that we can be able to redirect some of the production at a given time from there. We haven't signed off on the dotted line in terms of the quantity, that might be the next question, and where and so on, but we are working very ardently to ensure that we do not completely be able to participate in that very exciting find in Mozambique. Very soon as well, there is going to be another round of offers from the on acreage from the Mozambique government, and we shall be finding ways in which we can participate in that. So that should be what are our approaches in terms of the country. And the the lessons that we've learned, we are now bringing home to bear in the strategy that we utilize, understanding that we are playing in a high-risk business, and also that the stakes in this business are very high. We do understand that. And that's why we're looking at how to de-risk a lot of those things. And when we talk about this Vision 2020, as I said, our first aim is to make sure we sustain the current plan that we have. And for that, as I said, we're doing equity. There was a question about equity to say, you know, how is it going? And I'm going to go into, I'll ask one of my VP to talk to that. I think it's important. This is a project that the whole country is interested in how it actually turns out. The downstream entry, as I've spoken about, that was the rationale. But I think going forward, what I would like to just mention is that we are the year ahead is going to be challenging and interesting for PetroSA, because we are walking down the road where we are now starting to invest capital on the projects that are going to, one, sustain the company, and two, grow the company to that level of being a national oil company. Our challenges are not only challenges for PetroSA, but they're actually challenges that have a countrywide impact, which is why we are looking at partnerships with the other state-owned entities, and that's why one of the members mentioned the partnership that we're looking at with our state-owned entity, Eskom, and that is something that we are very happy about, because of the fact that there's been a realization that the issue of security of supply of products or energy in the country is not solely the function of PetroSA, but it's a function of us and other state-owned entities working together so that we can have an integrated and concerted approach in terms of how we do that. So it was, the question was to say, where are we and what are we doing? The crux of the matter is that we're looking at a joint approach in terms of how we can ameliorate the energy lack of sufficient energy that we have in the country, which could be hobbling growth. So we're looking at the different ways together, and one of them is how do we look at alternative feedstock to change the energy balance. Then I think when we talk about the issue of our students and the skills training, and what is our approach in terms of what subjects do we offer for people to come onto our bursaries and people living with disabilities, I will ask VP Arenda to very succinctly talk about that and what is it that has to be done to qualify for bursaries. We'll also talk about the retention strategy, and I think it was a comment which you appreciate, and how we want to increase our technical skills. The financial issues, maybe just to mention, I think there was a question that says, why did board delegate somebody to the company? The committee will know that there was a time through which the company went through not having a chief executive officer in the company at the time. So rather than have a period of instability, you would appreciate that for a company of this nature, you need to always have stability in leadership. So there was somebody delegated to bring stability into the organization. That was the reason why somebody was delegated into the company. As soon as the process of the appointment of a permanent chief executive officer was concluded by the board, and a chief executive officer was appointed, that then became a situation that returned back to normality, where you had a CEO running the organization. With regards to why was a contract cancelled and so on, I would like to refer back to the point of saying that there is a whole, as mentioned in the report, we're going through an analysis and an investigation of some of those issues, and we will in time, if the committee allows, revert back to the committee with the results of those investigations. I would not like to compromise the process if I may be allowed to say that we will come back with that officially. With regards to I think there was an issue about trips to Venezuela, what is the positive side and so on. I think the member will appreciate that Venezuela is one of the areas of prolific crude reserve. It's true that the crude is of a challenging nature. And the positive side is that you're looking at volume, and the challenging, I mean, the positive side is also that you've got there is a recipient, or rather the company that we're working with in Venezuela is recipient of our overture in terms of trying to look at ways that we can access barrels. One of the things that we've got in our mandate is that we need to also be able to access sufficient crude going towards 2020. So this is part of our process in line with our strategy to say where can we access barrels of crude for the country. The process currently is that we're looking at evaluating the more efficient and economic ways of being able to access that crude, and what and furthermore, we are aware that that crude is a little bit heavy. There was somebody alluded to, are you going to be, what type of crude will you be using in your future refinery? That is quite heavy crude, which actually requires a different type of process to be able to break it down and make it efficient in terms of the liquid fuel that we require. But as you know, many countries in the world actually do purchase the Venezuelan crude because they've built up their hardware to be able to deal with it. But currently, in terms of that particular process, we are not yet at the point where we are accessing those barrels, because there are a few regulatory issues that have to be sorted out, which are Venezuelan regulatory issues. So we are at the point where we are discussing and trying to align how it is that we can be more efficient with regards to that. So the outcome of those trips, without saying that they speak Spanish and speak South African, is the fact that we are in discussion in terms of how we can make it more efficient. I must say that the approach from both sides is a positive approach, that they would like to make this happen, and the question is how. And I think that's what we are busy dealing with as a company. I think, let me allow the Chief Financial Officer just to deal with some of the financial questions, which we're talking about the impairments related to Guinea and Egypt, the risk mitigation strategy towards that. There was a question about, there was a bonus payment of 90 million and jumped to 355. Maybe a short answer to that was to say, it was a bonus payment that has been agreed upon with the employees over time, and that was, the 90 was the first payment of the percentage. It wasn't the full payment, it was the first payment, and then the second amount in the next year of 355 was the second and final payment in that scheme that had been running for a few years as a company and which we were obliged to adhere to. So maybe just to say that we have now moved on to a different scheme under the circumstances that the company is finding itself. Taking into cognizance the circumstances that we find ourselves, we've moved on to a different performance management scheme. I think that's it from the general side, and maybe a little bit of the financials will be dealt with by the CFO. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Group CEO. I will start perhaps when previous impairments, just link it to the risk mitigation strategy on Astrid, which is again the Group CEO refers to as the issue of farming out or farming in into other projects. Instead of assuming the whole risk for the exploration license, you share it with other investors. Again, the exploration, the way we undertake exploration in the organization, we form subsidiaries for each license. If we get a license in a country, we form a subsidiary. That is also a form of risk mitigation, so that all the risks are ring-fenced on that subsidiary. And also, when we think about these subsidiaries, let's not think about operational expenditure of those offices. The administration and the bookkeeping, even the directors of those subsidiaries, are picked up amongst ourselves as executives. It's only when they become quite operational that we then feel that there is a need to involve our non-executive board members to be part of the governance practice. So those are not offices that are big established offices with all the infrastructure. Again, the way we then what we do, like for instance in Egypt, and the amount that is being impaired, it's exploration that was written off in our books in 2008. And then in the subsidiary, that amount has always been reflected as something that when the investment, I mean, matures in that they are fine, they are returned, so we will they will pay back the Petro SA. And Petro SA, same on the other side, that we will receive back our money. Otherwise, for the group, for the family, that amount was spent and is gone. What is happening now is that we apply judgment as management and say, under the circumstances, it is not likely that we will ever receive this investment back. So we write that off our books. I was thinking of an example. It's like giving an advance to your son, who's part of the family, to go to university. And then he writes off that money as fees. And then you put it on your side to say, my son will one day, when he gets employment, pay me back. And he finishes the university. And he knows he owes David this money. He's sitting there, he can't find a job. And Dad says, no, man, because it's a family. Son, I forgive you this loan. And but the actual economic event happened 3 years back when he was studying for me. This is what this impairment is all about. In the family, it's a family unit, and which is just written off what was the expense or economic event of the past.
Yeah, but I won't forget my kids because it says it's going to be richer than me. I said, okay, because I bad down. But I think one of the questions was that it's not appearing.
I'm coming to that honorable chair. Yes, indeed, with the honorable member, we did to try to run a quick reconciliation by looking at the books as submitted in the financial statements of the Petro SA Egypt against written of our books. That reconciliation, I can promise we can do it outside. Otherwise, it should tire. What has been written off that side is the same as what has been spent on this side. So we will do that reconciliation. Right. That is that one on impairment. Again, there was an issue about the claim by the employee that needs to be settled on the financial statement. That issue relates to the company policy that states that in the event the employee leaves before the payment of the bonus, that employee forfeits that bonus. But we have lost a case in this one, and this one employee who got to know about it and is claiming that bonus. So hence it is put there that the consideration that bonus be paid to that employee. And then there was a question on the issue of what are our plans to increase our BEE contribution.
are currently reviewing our policies and procedures, especially in the aspect of set aside contracts, where certain contracts are specifically set aside for PEs.
Right.
And then because you will help me on some of that I'm losing that I might not. Oh, okay, fine, great, thanks. The issue of reserve additions, which is on our targets, I think the honourable member is asking that we had a target of 15 million barrels, which is on slide 11, and then what was the progress at the year end, right? Because we, in fact, what we are saying is that what actually happened at the end, we were negotiating with the sellers of Sabre Holdings. So we could not book those reserves. Those reserves were only booked once the deal was closed, which was post the year end. So it is difficult to say the progress at that date was 90%, 80%. So we say the target was not achieved because we had not booked those reserves. And then the other one is the bonuses of the CEO covered the bonuses and on terms of the percentages. I think that those were the ones which are related to me.
Honourable members, with respect to Project Ikwezi, Project Ikwezi is a field development that we are undertaking in Petro SA. This field was discovered in the 1990s. We drilled four discovery wells in the field between 1990 and 2000, and then recently as part of our project to appraise the field, we drilled two more appraisal wells just to make sure that the seismic responses we get about what is underground we can correlate with what our wells that we've drilled there says. So what we've done is so that's the first part of the project, which is the subsurface analysis, and then the second part of the project, which is the execution consists of our subsea pipeline development, the intake of the gas into the platform, and then the drilling. So all of those activities, as the Group CEO has said, have been undertaken. The long lead items have been issued and procured, and we in fact have started commencing the pipeline for the connection between the field and the and the platform where we receive the gas offshore. So we have a high level of confidence in the work that we've undertaken to ensure that the project is a success. Yes.
I forgot one which is quite important, the issue of the audit finance. It goes to the heart of a government. And again, as I indicated, say in the presence of the chairperson of the audit committee that there is no collapse of the systems of internal control that is there. And this transparent audit finding, bulk of the young nature is that the solution could not be implemented within the reporting period. And also, those some that had
additional financial resource to address the issues which we in that area. So, but for transparency, they were repeat all the findings, so we have to report them. Okay, the current ratio stands for raising that question. Yes, I must apologize. We, by making the presumption that by not giving the standard. The standard for that ratio, the best is 2. If a company is below 2, one should ask himself a question whether the company is able to operate easily without experiencing the frequency problems. How about is 7? Again, when one looks at it, then what's the reason for that? It's because we're sitting on sacks of cash of 11 billion, 12 billion. That is why it is that high. But it is good or bad, that cash should not be there. That cash should be invested in assets that produce returns that are more than 7 or 8% which we currently achieve. That is projects that produce 13, 14, 20% return. That's where that cash should be.
Capital issues.
Honorable Chairperson and members of the committee. The first question that I'd like to respond to is the one in relation to our collaboration with the university, the research institute, and how we have utilized the institute really to grow our graduates. Certainly, we currently have 5 employees who are deployed there for development purposes as well. But in addition to that, it will become part of our experiential learning platform in the same way we utilize our refinery for that purpose as well. So certainly it will be as part of our strategy and also why we invested in institutes such as that. I hope that addresses your question that regard. Then as far as students accessing the honorable member of the question around students with disabilities, our approach has essentially been two-pronged. We saw the challenge we had with people living with disabilities, so we took a more focused and targeted approach. We had a memorandum of understanding with a local institute. In this instance, it's important that students living with disabilities are properly supported. And the intent is actually also to forge further relations with other institutions, as we are a national oil company, not just located in the Western Cape. We also have a general intake, as part of our general intake of residency, where we go out to public notice, and also our internet, where we actually then take students into ambassadors. This obviously also leads to the business requirements and the specific criteria, including certain new activities on students from previously disadvantaged, but also broader, because disabilities are something that affects, there's no color or creed you belong. So we've taken a broad approach in that. So the access would be publicized, and certainly students are also free to also contact our Union Capital Division in this respect to know more about what we're doing in that space. As far as skills development is concerned, the issue about the scorecard versus our own internal measures, the BE scorecard uses a different measure, if you like, so we also going forward aligning more closely to the transformation to the BBB codes. Their issue was more a question of evidence of capacity building programs within the company. respond to the question about technical skills, I agree with the question and I will answer it. We were, or we still are planning on duplicating our Centre of Excellence model elsewhere in the country, where we will ramp up the technical skills with regard to project entitlement. But also, your point is well taken that we will also forge strong relations with FET colleges to also supply people with the technical nature and bring those institutes where we can into the network. Honourable Member, I hope I've answered Chairman Arndt's all your questions in that respect. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think the difference between the question on the issue of Tombo, and there was also what impact is our increase or the uptake in Jubilee having, and whether there's a relationship between the crude and so on. So maybe just to state that currently we are undertaking the study, the joint study agreement with Sinopec, where we are going to establish all of those things, i.e. the size, type of crude that mix we're going to utilize because of clean fuels too, what is the configuration. That's the study that we've undertaken at the moment. And maybe it suffices to say that in terms of the size, it will be the commensurate size that is going to be able to deal with the market issue or the market demand in the country as we see now and going forward. We do know that we're in net import mode, so all those studies are going to be taken into consideration. And with regard to the uptake in Jubilee, perhaps just to state that it has increased our current reserve profile by about 40%, and we see that as the years go by, I mean as the time goes by, and we can be able to realize the full potential of those fields, we see that actually increasing. But at the same time, that's not going to be, as you say, the only source of crude for petroleum. We are also looking at other avenues to access some of that, to access, to improve our reserve base. Chair, maybe I think one of the things that we've been trying to, one of the key messages is that going forward, this past financial year was a challenging one for PetroSA. Currently, it's a challenging year for PetroSA. There was a question about how does the rand dollar affect us and so on, and that perhaps because of the fact that we base our pricing on that, we do sometimes see a positive effect when the rand declines. But that is not the full picture, because even with the constant change in the crude price, that also affects our results and it's got a real effect. So those two things combined in terms of the rand dollar exchange rate and the crude oil price have got a real effect on our results. And I think what I'd like to just say is that we currently operating at lower than optimum capacity, and we know that that's had a negative effect on our margins, which is why it's imperative that we actually execute all our approved strategic projects, which will impact positively on the sustainability of our group. And next year we are saying to the committee, promises to be a watershed year for PetroSA because of the multiple investments that we will be making to transform the company into a more sustainable and integrated business. And we spoke about Project Equity, and we're also talking about some of the downstream areas, the upstream partnerships that we've signed, and we foresee that there's a hive of activity that should take us into the next stage of growth and sustainability. On that note, Chair, I'd just like to say that what we do require as a national oil company, and we always look forward to, is the support from the stakeholders in terms of us executing these projects for the good of the company and for the country. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair.
claimed that you'd like to be an integrated entity by 2020. That's a bold step, and one recognizes that some of the investments and initiatives they've taken do indicate to that effect. The fact that they've increased the project, I hope a lot of some assurance is coming when it's September, saying that they are rolling out the action. It's no longer on the drawing board. Mtombo and the Saba investment in Ghana. And I trust and hope one day would spend an hour or so at the Specialized Field Research Center, who was around the corner at UWC. It's a very, very interesting or attractive issue. I think to me those are indications that Federal State is really keen to take a bolder step, and as Honor Zohadeve said, I haven't heard them, Mamadou, that they would like to get a couple of bucks from Treasury, or would you like some, or would you mind Treasury to part with you? Of course, you've also indicated your profits have been positive all the way. However, the other side is that there are a couple of areas that you need to either tighten or even, you know, intensive overhaul. At this stage in time, when it comes to the use of equity for the disabled, that's one area we really need to strengthen. And we hope the use of procurement will be something of the past. I want to be telling all the members that we have to be very firm with that. In fact, that ties up with the overall governance, the impairment, all those things. Honestly, there is some lack of responsiveness from your side because you raised these matters before. And we shall not let up in raising them and maintaining a hawk's eye on them. Unfortunately, there are very few groups that you want to be, you know, sign up for South Africa. So we'll take you for your work and chase you around every corner of South Africa. And we will monitor these areas if you feel have a risk of compromising your position. That's the main thing, I'm sure, one of the members. We all agree on that one. From time to time, you have to share with us, in fact, community sector, we've seen, when we handle the piece of skills development, you'd like to see more from the side as well, we're going to handle that one. Environmental incidents, we've raised this before, particularly in the previous budget review report, and we would like to get some more responsiveness, positive responsiveness as well in this area. You're handling a very sensitive commodity, in fact, all related products as well. So environmental issues, but together with safety internal within your various plant, issues that we know that you're doing your level best to be up to scratch, but still will be sharper in monitoring them. Enterprise development, one of the members, I'm sure we hold hands together in that area. It's a bit of a surprise. And can you share with us the turnaround plan at some stage? Surely for Federal SA, we shouldn't have been lamenting that your enterprise development component is limping, to say the least. Please give us more, because this is an area where there's a lot of suffocation. Sometimes one would suspect on this conscious statement of the Black Economic Empowerment Engine. We always have to perish a lot of guidance for them because they are complaining about lack of support, protection, and all related issues. But as I say, we'll definitely be monitoring that.
by now you're doing something